pray together. Father, again, we are thankful for the privilege of worship, grateful for your love and mercy, your kindness to us. Father, our prayer is that through the scripture this morning, you would reveal yourself, that we might behold the glory, the wonder of our Savior. As you speak, may we hear, and may we heed the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you ever feel beaten and battered? You ever feel like life is pushing you around? What do you do when life gets the best of you? How do you handle it when life is overwhelming? Because you do understand that faith in Christ does not eliminate trouble. Problems do not vanish because you trust in Jesus. Many have made shipwreck their faith because they thought of Jesus as a quick fix. Because they were told either directly or indirectly that if they would just trust Jesus, everything would be all right. So what are they supposed to do when life slaps them in the face? What happens when the bill still comes due and there's no mysterious check that arrived in the mail and it's the exact amount that you need? What do you do when life isn't what you expected? What happens when the doctor says, I'm sorry, but there's nothing we can do? If we're going to bring peace and comfort to the people of God, we do not do it by promising them the world. The fact is, life in this fallen, broken, sinful world is hard, difficult, unfair, and cruel. And faith in Christ doesn't change that. Belief in the Lord Jesus doesn't make you immune from life's hardship and struggle. Our hope in Christ is that we have a Savior who delivers us through all that. We have a God who brings peace, comfort, encouragement, and strength in spite of all of that. Peace in the midst of the storm. Hope in the face of hopelessness. That is the legacy of our faith. And that's dramatically demonstrated for us in an experience of the disciples. Our Lord had performed a great miracle. He took a little boy's lunch and he blessed it and he fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. That was followed by a day of healing all kinds of sickness and disease. After he fed the 5,000, the crowd was ready to declare him king. But he had no part of it. He sent them away. And he went to the mountain to pray. He sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee. He dispersed the crowd. And during the night, as they were crossing the sea, a great storm threatened their lives. And in the midst of their struggle, Jesus came walking on the water. Our text this morning is found in Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to begin at verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, 22 down through verse 33. Immediately he had the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed the crowd, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here again, we find this moving portrait of our God. We see something of the compassion and the care of our God. We believe that Scripture is a revelation of God. Now, by that, we're not just saying that God inspired it. We're saying that the Scripture is a revelation of who God is. That when you and I read the Scripture, we're reading the Scripture to see who God is, what God requires, how we live in relationship to Him. So we're always, as we're reading Scripture, saying, what is this saying about God? What does this tell me about God? How do I relate to God in this passage? And of course, this is a very familiar passage. Whether you grew up in church, go to church, never been to church, you're familiar with this story. You say, "Oh yeah, heard that one." Because how do we describe people who think a lot of themselves? We say, "God, that guy thinks he can walk on water." I mean, this is a familiar story, and the problem is it gets put in the category of myth. It's understood to be a legend that developed over time. But this is an actual, literal event. This actually happened. He actually walked on the water. Now, we're told in the text that they were a long way from land. They were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is about 5 miles across. Now, so this would put to rest that story that developed that said, well, now actually Jesus didn't come walking on the water. What he was walking along the shore calling to them, and because of things they thought he was on the water. Well, if you're 2.5 to 3 miles out in the middle of the water and there's a violent storm going on, I don't think you're going to see someone 2.5 to 3 miles away, and you're certainly not going to hear their voice. Jesus came to them walking on the water. And this experience reveals to us something of the power and the compassion of our Savior. And as we reflect on this truth this morning, we discover that believers look to Christ and find grace sufficient for any and every trial. What are we to glean from this? If we look at this story, this fantastic story, this wonderful story of Jesus coming to them in the midst of their struggle, what do we come away with? We come away understanding that as the people of God, no matter what the trial, no matter what the trouble, we look to Christ, who is sufficient for every struggle, for every trial. Being a Christian does not make you immune from life's struggles and hardships. Faith in Christ does not eliminate trouble, but in Christ we have grace sufficient to face the challenge and to rise above it. There are three great truths that I want us to reflect on from this passage. First of all, I want us to see Christ, our hope, in the midst of trouble. Jesus sent the disciples on across the Sea of Galilee. Matthew says, and he made them get in the boat to cross the sea. And the word made means to compel, to force them. He demanded that they get in the boat, and he demanded that they cross the sea, that they get to the other side. And it's no small thing to think about that. It's an important piece of the puzzle to understand what's happening here, to understand that the disciples were in obedience when they sailed into this trouble. And I'm making a point of that because there is a popular theology today that says if you'll just obey Jesus, there won't be any trouble. If you just walk in faith, if you just walk believing, if you just keep trusting, there'll never be trouble. Here you understand, Jesus demanded, get in the boat. Jesus demanded, cross the sea. They were being obedient when they sailed right into this life-threatening trouble. Keep in mind, these are professionals. Professional fishermen are guiding this boat across. They knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. They understood that this was a common thing that happens because the Sea of Galilee is situated where it's like pushing your thumb down in the putty and you make a little hole and there's a valley and there's hills on either side and there's a wind tunnel effect. And so violent storms could come up out with no notice. They knew that. And they knew what to do when that happens. They're professionals. They've dealt with this often. And yet we're told they were terrified, that they were struggling mightily. You say, why? Why fight it? I mean, you got professionals on board. You got guys that know how to do this. Turn into the wind. Let the wind drive you wherever it will. It's safer. It's easier. Here's the problem. Jesus said, cross the sea. They were struggling because they were obeying. It was their obedience that caused the real problem. They were struggling, fighting the elements, because they were determined to do the very thing that their Lord and Master demanded that they do. The scripture says that the waves were beating them. The word means torment, frustrate. We're told it was the fourth watch. That's between 3 and 6 a.m. Jesus came walking on the water. Jesus had been alone up on the mountainside. He had taken time to be in prayer with his Father. Why? Well, think about the context. Go back and look in Matthew just before this, and you'll find out that he had gotten word that his beloved cousin, John the Baptist, had been murdered. But he didn't have time to deal with that. He didn't have time to grieve, because just as he gets word of that, this large crowd comes. He spent an entire day healing all kinds of sickness, disease. He's worn out. The disciples knew he was worn out, so they came to him and said, Lord, it's late in the day. We've been here all day. These people need to eat. There's not food here. Send them away. And Jesus, why don't you give them something? He said, well, we don't have. We got with this one lunch. And Jesus said, well, that's plenty. Have them all sit down. We fed 5,000 plus the women and children. Exhausted. He tells the disciples, get in the boat, head to the other side. Let me get rid of the crowd. So he dispersed the crowd. He went up alone with the Father. And there he's praying. Well, meanwhile, out on the Sea of Galilee, you can bet the disciples were doing some praying themselves, because their lives are being threatened. They're being tossed back and forth. They're not sure they're going to get across. They're not sure how they're going to make it. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And we're told that when the disciples saw them, they cried out in fear. It's a ghost! Because after all, people don't just walk on the water. Terrified. They're not comforted. They're terrified by what they're seeing. And they cried out in fear. And then Jesus said, stop fearing. It's I. Don't be afraid. I am. They were told to stop fearing because he was present. I don't want you to miss this. The reason why I don't want you to miss this is because the storm wasn't over. It's not a matter that Jesus came to them walking on the sea and he said, hey, stop it. And they got calm and he said, now see, everything's fine. Be calm. the winds were blowing. The waves were violent. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. I'm here. See, this is a powerful, wonderful reminder to us that Christ Himself is our peace. He is our rest. He is our Sabbath. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The issue wasn't the storm's over. Peace came to them not because the storm was now absent, but because the Lord Jesus was present. And that's the message of the Christian life. Our life is in Christ. Our hope is in Him. So I'd have to ask you today, what's threatening you? What storm is raging in your life? Is it financial? You worried about making the next house payment? You're worried about being able to provide for your family? Look to Christ. He is your peace. He is your rest. Or maybe you're anxious because that doctor's appointment's coming up. And you don't know why, you just know things aren't right. Or maybe you've already been and you're waiting the test result. Look to Christ. Find in Him your peace, your rest. Maybe it's relational. There's just problems. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at school. There's some problem that just is overwhelming to you. Look to Christ. And find that He is your life. That He Himself is your peace. Find hope in Christ. Look to Christ and live. Look to Christ and be strengthened. Look to Christ and take heart. For He is our hope in the midst of trouble. Second, Christ, our enabler in the moment of victory. Verses 28 and 29. You gotta love Peter. Because Peter gives us hope. Because you say, if God can use Peter, surely He could use me. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Now there's different levels of iffiness in Scripture, and this is the least. Actually, what he's saying is, Lord, it's you. Let me come. Lord, because it's you, say the word, and I'll come to you on the water. Peter had great faith at times. The problem was his faith ebbed and flowed. He blew hot and cold. Can you identify with it? Can you acknowledge, you know, there are times my faith is just strong, and other times it's as weak as can be. Lord, if it's you, Lord, because it's you, Lord, let me come to you. I know that if you say the word, I can walk on water. What was his motivation? I don't have a clue. I don't know why he said it. And honestly, it doesn't matter. Lord, if it's you, let me come. Come on. And the text at least implied he immediately got out of the boat. He didn't hesitate. He didn't think about it. Lord, if it's you, let me come. Come on. He just stepped out of the boat and goes walking. Now, can you imagine That's an incredible thing. The power of Jesus was extended to Peter. How is it that possible? Got to make you think. Jesus said, the things that I do, you'll do, and even greater things. And here's old Peter walking on the water. Now, you know, I've read commentaries. I've listened to people asking questions. And you know what people most often ask? Well, how far did he go? As if that's the big issue. It doesn't matter how far he went. I'll tell you this. The text says he came to Jesus. However far Jesus was from the boat, he went to him. Besides that, when he did begin to sink, Jesus just reached out his hands. Something happened. Peter's walking on the water. It's incredible. He had to be excited. I picture him as laughing, thinking, isn't this great? I think he may have even looked back at some of the others and goes, hey. Yeah. I think there's a part of Peter that said, hey guys, look at me. But all of a sudden he went, wait a minute. I'm walking on water. Wait a minute. There's a storm. And he took his eyes off of Jesus and immediately began to sink. That's another reminder to us of the fact that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We glance at our troubles and we gaze at our Savior. We fix our eyes on Him. Remember, the writer of Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Here's what I want you to understand. It's not your faith. It's the object of your faith. It's not your ability to believe. It's the power of your God. The issue isn't your obedience. The issue is His enabling. Strength, power, and enabling in the moment of victory comes from Christ. So what do? When life is raging around you? How do you keep your head above water? You look to Christ, your enabler. And you trust. And you fix your eyes on Him. Now, does that mean you ignore the trouble? Does that mean that you're completely unaware? Is it a matter of positive thinking? I'm going to keep positive about this. No. You're fully aware of what's around you. But you understand that your God is greater than whatever threatens you. It's cliche, but it's true. What threatened the disciples was already under His feet. He is Lord and Master of all. So you look to Christ and find peace, find strength, and find enabling. But there's one other thing that I want us to see, because it's important as we think about Peter taking his eyes off Jesus and beginning to sink. Because we find Christ, our Savior, in the face of failure. Peter began to sink. At that point, he cried out to God. And I want you to notice the prayer he prays, because it is an exceedingly eloquent prayer. Look at it. Peter begins to sink and he says, help! That's it. Lord, save! See, the circumstance was desperate. There was no time to work a deal. there was no time to strike a bargain. Lord, save. And you notice what the text says? Immediately, Jesus took hold of his hand and lifted him up. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, mark it down. Peter didn't deserve this. Jesus didn't owe it to him. In fact, our Lord could have taught him a lesson and the others. He could have just as easily said, okay, so now there are 11. Everybody learn? He didn't do that. In grace and mercy and kindness, he took hold of old wavering, hot and cold Peter and lifted him up. Now, this is at the point where normally we say, yeah, you know, you're too big for your britches. This kind of thing happens to you. I mean, Peter thought he could walk on water. Well, number one, he did. And number two, how did he get back to the boat? He walked back with Jesus. And notice, when they got in the boat, the winds ceased. Now the storm is over. And what was the result of it? And they, meaning everyone on board, worshiped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. That's the only appropriate response to the grace and mercy and kindness of our Savior. Truly, you are the blessed Son of God. And worthy of our worship. And the word means to fall down on your face before. It's in the midst of life's troubles that we experience God in all of his glory. The peace and comfort provided by our God in the heat of struggle is overwhelming. And thus our appropriate response to Christ when he comes as our hope, our enabler, and our Savior is to worship him. Life is filled with heartache and trouble. And coming to Christ doesn't change that. The difference will be that you will know the peace of Christ in the midst of the storm. The difference is calm when all about you rages. The difference is you will rise above life's storm to new heights. What do you do when life buffets you? What do you do when life tosses you to and fro? Look to Christ and find peace, contentment, joy, and power. In other words, look to Christ and live. Let's pray together. And as we pray, I want you to think about what you've heard today. I want you to take a good, hard, honest look at the Savior. Who is our hope in the midst of trouble, who is our enabler in the moment of victory, and our Savior in the face of failure. Where are you today? Is the storm raging all around you? Whatever that storm, financial, emotional, physical, relational, spiritual. Christ is your hope. How do you overcome? How do you rise above? Christ is your enabler. He extends His grace and mercy, His power to you. And it is sufficient to face any and every trial. Oh. And He is your Savior in the face of failure. Maybe say, Pastor, I'm trying, but I'm sinking. Pastor, I'm trying, but I'm failing. Look to Christ. He and He alone is your Savior. I'm not going to tell you that life will be easy. It won't. I'm not even going to tell you that the storm's going to quiet down if you'll just look to Him. The storm may rage about you for some time to come. The promise is you have a Savior who will walk with you, who will carry you, who will strengthen you. A Savior sufficient. A Savior who says to you, I'm going to get you home safely. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. And I will supply your every need. Look to Christ. Father, I thank You for this powerful, moving portrait of our Savior. A Savior sufficient for any and every trial. A Savior powerful and compassionate. Lord, grant to us eyes to see. Grant to us an ability to look beyond the threat and see the Savior. Grant us faith and courage to believe and trust despite our doubt and our fear. Grant that we would find peace and rest in Christ. It's in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior we pray. Amen. God bless you. I'm glad that you were here this morning. I hope that the Lord has encouraged your heart. If you have questions, we would love to visit with you after the service. Maybe you say, Pastor, I don't know where to turn. I feel overwhelmed. I'm right there in that boat. We'd love to sit down with you and pray with you and help you to look to Christ. Please, if you've got questions, speak to us after the service. We'd love that opportunity.